Welcome to Defining Roles, a podcast about jobs you may have never heard of. I'm your host, Kate Barrett. Let's explore the possibilities of what's out there so that we can find our perfect role. Wow, time is a funny thing. Can you believe it's been a year since I have recorded and put a podcast episode out? I certainly can't, and I'm so happy and thankful that you've tuned back in, and it feels really good to be recording again. I took a break a year ago to fully concentrate on finding a job and the job search process, and that kind of led to reevaluating what I wanted to create in life, and I decided that it was time for a move. So I moved to the Denver, Colorado area because I wanted sunshine and mountains in my life and had done over 10 years in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon and needed some change. So I moved to Colorado last May, and it's been a really cool adventure. I have to admit, it hasn't all perfectly fallen into place quite as I expected. I don't know what I expected, but I think the things that I thought would be hard were easy, and the things that I thought would be easy have been more difficult. So it's definitely taken me a lot longer to find a job than I expected, to be completely honest. That journey has been much more difficult, but it's just been a lot of learning and still working on it, still piecing together what that perfect role for me will look like. And the part that I thought would be challenging about the move would be to get settled and make friends and have it feel like home. And that happens so easily. So it's just interesting how things play out. And yeah, I think it finally feels right to be back recording the podcast. I've met so many wonderful people that I'm really excited to introduce you to. One of those is Jessica that I have on today. She was one of my first good friends that I made here in Colorado, and she has just introduced me to such an amazing community of women. And like she says in the episode, she is a connector. And so it's just been so fun to meet so many new people. I'm so thankful. And I know you're going to enjoy Jessica. She's been someone that in this chapter just has been so encouraging, because her story definitely has similar notes to mine in that her background is a little diverse, and the company that she recently started working with, that's what stuck out to them and that's what they like. And that's the kind of thing that I need to hear in this moment, because I have done things all the way from teaching English in France to being a stenographer, court reporter, to working as a wine sales rep. So my background is definitely not straightforward. And that has been the challenging piece that I've come across right now. I don't want to go back into the wine industry. Just lifestyle. I personally don't drink very much anymore. And so it's time to move on to something else. And it's been interesting to see a lot of companies don't quite understand, or they want a background that is a little more streamlined, and mine gets a little confusing of like, okay, so what do you do and what are you looking for? So all that to say, Jessica has just been so expansive in her journey and how things all fit together and how she's chosen to work for a company for the stability and the lifestyle that she wants to create in this chapter. It's just been a really, really great demonstration to me of there are companies out there that value exactly who you are and what you've done, and that you don't always have to be an entrepreneur to create this life and have this, you know, image of success that we see a lot right now. That's kind of where a lot of people measure success is if you can create something on your own. So it's just a lovely conversation that we have. Jessica shares what she's learned over the years. I'm just so happy to be back, and I have a lot of wonderful guests that I'm in the process of interviewing now and will release in the next few weeks. And I'm just so glad to connect with you again. It's been a long time and I've thought of you often, and it feels great to be reunited in, you know, the podcast space. So I'm going to just get right into the episode, and I hope that you enjoy. Jessica, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited to be here. We've been talking about this for a while, and yeah, I just love connecting, sharing my story, talking with friends. So yeah, I'm excited.
Wonderful. Well, would you start by telling us your official job title right now?
Yes. So officially, for my full-time job, I'm a sales consultant at a company called Trinet. We sell HR software to small to medium-sized businesses. And then I do have my own small business that I do in addition to that for a clean beauty company called Beauty Counter. And I'm also a sales consultant technically for them as well.
Awesome. How would you define your role? And maybe this kind of rolls into our next question of your career journey, because you and I have had several conversations just about what it looks like to create the career path that we want. And you have such a unique and cool story that I really would love to share. So kind of walk us through and what you see your role as and how you've gotten to this place.
Yeah. I love this because I've had definitely a very different journey than kind of your typical career path, you know, typical what we kind of grew up to believe. You get a degree and you go into that field and you stay in that field. And that has not been my case. So right now I would describe my role as, you know, client facing. You know, I think sales has developed a lot over the last few years. And so I really look at myself, I like that they use the term sales consultant at my company, because I really consider myself that. Like, we're, our job is to help these small businesses and find out the areas that they're struggling and really show them how we can support them. And they're not always the best fit for us. So that's another job, is just really being able to identify, you know, who is a good fit and who's going to benefit. So I do really consider myself just like client facing and almost like a business consultant in a way. And I think the other piece to that is education. You know, in both of my roles, both at Trinet and Beauty Counter, is educating people about what this is, what it does, how it could potentially benefit them. And I think that's another huge piece to sales, is education, which is kind of a perfect segue into my career path, because I got to sales in a very roundabout way. And I started in education. And I think, you know, a lot of what makes me good at sales is the skills that I learned throughout my career. So I actually graduated with a master's in special education, and I taught eighth grade special ed for 6 years. And I burnt out pretty quickly. I recognized pretty quickly that it just wasn't for me. Shout out, and my heart goes out to all the teachers out there. I think unless you've done it, you really don't understand what goes into it. I think it looks a little shiny on the outside. You get summers off and you're done at 3 o'clock, and that's just not the case. There's so much work that you bring home. I know most teachers are tutoring over the summer, doing after school things, and parents and administration and paperwork. And every year it was just more and more. And so personally, I just knew that I didn't see myself doing that forever. But I will say, it took me a while to get there. I kind of felt pretty stuck of like, but this is my master's and what else am I supposed to do with, you know, with this degree? And so I was definitely stuck there for a while. Over my teaching career, I got really into health and fitness. I started running half marathons. I did a handful of marathons. I got certified and I was teaching spin classes on the side. And I just really fell in love with like health and nutrition. So I decided to get my health coach certification through a company called the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I got that, and I just got to a point where I said, you know what, I can't do the teaching thing anymore. This is going to be my last year. And so I left, and I didn't really have a huge game plan. I had a couple health coaching clients, so I was, you know, doing that. Ended up actually working at Lululemon for a period of time. Really enjoyed that company, really great culture. And it was one of the first places that, like, on the interview process, they said, you know, like, where do you envision your life in 5 years, in 10 years? And it was the first time that really got me thinking about that. I'd never really thought about those components. And I think they did a lot in terms of personal development. And so I'm definitely grateful for my time there. And then I actually got hired at a local holistic nutrition practice. A girl I went to high school with had opened it up and had an overload of clients. She said, come in, I'll teach you everything I know. You can be, you know, like my associate nutritionist. And I was like, awesome. And that was just a very kind of kismet. We ran into each other at a yoga class and like hadn't seen each other in years. And I told her what I was up to. And so that was pretty cool. I learned a lot there and I was seeing clients one-on-one. I also during that time got my yoga teacher certification. So I was still teaching classes on the side and doing that. We ended up just, I wasn't making enough money. I moved back home to save money. I turned 30. I got out of a long-term relationship. I just was in a place in my life where I was like, things just don't seem to be falling into place. So I decided to move from Boston to Denver. And when I got to Denver, I didn't have a job. Luckily my cousin let me stay with her for a bit. So that was great. And my big thing when I got here was like, I need some stability. You know, I need some benefits and an income. And I had no idea what I wanted to do, to be honest. So I just looked at like the best companies to work for in Colorado. I really cared more about like the people and the culture. And I found a company called Zen Planner that does member fitness management software. And I was like, great, this is in the fitness space. They had an entry-level sales position open. I had no clue what that entailed, but I applied. I messaged the hiring manager directly on Facebook. And I ended up getting hired, I think, within like a week. And it was really cool company. The sales team was really tight. Like I could wear yoga pants to work. You know, we had a fitness stipend every month. But I was at entry-level sales. I was making 80 cold calls a day and trying to set these demos. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I never really got to me too much. Like, of course, that's not exactly what I wanted to be doing every day. But I was just naturally pretty good at it. Like I've always been really good at speaking to people and connecting with people. And I think that does really come from that education background. And in the school system, you know, I had to talk to both kids and parents and administrators, and you have to be able to communicate well. So I did that. I got promoted after about 8 months into the inbound position. So no more cold calls. I was just giving the demos. Was there for about 2.5 years. And over that time, I got another nutrition certification. And after that, the company got bought out. Things really started to change. And I just had this inkling of like, I always wanted to get back into health and fitness. And at that time, I think it was when Instagram really started popping off. And I was seeing all these like health coaches and, you know, instructors doing their own thing on Instagram and living this life. And I was like, ooh, I want that. Like, I want more freedom. I want to be able to do X, Y, and Z. So I left Zen Planner and started my own business. And I was doing holistic nutrition coaching to start. I was still teaching on the side as well. And I loved the clients I worked with, but I really quickly burnt out. I didn't really take into account like the marketing side of things and email marketing and campaigns and, you know, trying to do all of it. And I was feeling super isolated. I realized I don't really like working by myself, to be honest. And I was really struggling financially, being totally transparent. I was, you know, barely making ends meet. I was putting things on credit cards. I was investing in business coaches on credit cards. And I thought that was going to make the business successful. And so I was just really coming from this place of kind of desperate energy. During this time is also when I discovered Beauty Counter. And I partnered with them. They do safer skincare and cosmetics. And that was something I was just running into with a lot of my clients is, you know, we talked about food and nutrition and how that impacts your health and your hormones, but a lot of people had no idea about the ingredients in their products and what impact that has. So I kind of switched gears. And when I joined Beauty Counter, I also joined a team of women. And that really lit me up again, just to have a team and to be working with like-minded people. So I switched gears and kind of turned my business more into what I called clean living. So really the education, and it all comes back to like, I think that's really what I'm here to do is educate. Mm-hmm. And so I was educating on not just skincare and cosmetics, but your laundry detergent and your, you know, counter spray. And I started doing these in-home clean swaps where I would go into people's homes and help them, you know, swap out products for safer options. And again, really loved it, but just nothing ever really picked up enough that it was sustaining me like full time. And I was, you know, working on the side part-time for a CBD company. I was teaching, I was just spreading myself so thin. And I just was exhausted and it really started to take a toll physically and mentally. And so finally I just said, you know, Jess, like you have a background in sales. You know, it's most work is remote now, like just see what's out there. So I started looking for jobs. And this recruiter actually reached out to me. And when I read the job description, I almost didn't get on the call with her. Like it just, the way that they described it, I interpreted it very different and didn't think it was like the right fit for me. And then I got on the call with her and we started chatting more and I had an interview and I really loved the people and they really, what I liked is they really appreciated my background. A lot of companies would look at me kind of doing all these different things and think like, oh, she can't stick to something, you know? And I think that's kind of the stigma that people are afraid of. And they really saw it as like, wow, she has all these skills that she can bring into this role and utilize. And so I felt just really seen and heard by them. And so, yeah, I started working for them and it is totally remote. The base salary alone is more money than I've ever made in my life. And it's obviously sales. So you're also making commission. And so it's just given me this freedom and stability to, I still do beauty counter on the side because I love it. And I know that I'm going to create more in the future, you know, in that realm of kind of clean living and the things that I'm passionate about. But having this job gives me the space to do that. And it gives me the stability and just able to come from a place of just letting opportunities come naturally rather than trying to force things. And so that was a huge lesson I learned, you know, in trying to start my own business. And I think just coming at it from the wrong place and the wrong energy. And yeah, so that's how I got to where I'm at now.
Yeah. And the conversations that you and I had were really around kind of our thoughts of what we think we need to create in order to be successful. So when you see all these people becoming entrepreneurs and really owning their time and owning their life, we kind of create this idea of like, oh, I have to find my own business idea. I have to create the structure. But what I love about how you've gone down your path of you tried that and it actually didn't create the life that you wanted. It stressed you out. It created debt. You didn't have the lifestyle that you wanted. And so being able to re-examine and look at, you know, why am I making these choices? And it was the expectation that you thought would come with being a coach.
Yeah.
And instead, being able to work for a great company created more freedom because now you have income, you have that stability to then go down your health journey or to really help other people, you know, in their health journey because of what you've done with your tools, but there's not the pressure that it has to lead somewhere. So to me, that was such a great message to go, not everyone has to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think for most people, it's not the lifestyle they necessarily want. And again, I think it's so easy to see those people on Instagram and, you know, whatever, you know, making X, Y, and Z, you know, and getting this idea and getting boxed in and thinking like, oh, well, that's the only way that I can create freedom or choice when that's so not true, especially nowadays. There's so many ways that you can do that. And yeah, so I definitely would, you know, if anyone's in that place and it's hard because you feel like you're a failure and you're like, why are these people doing it? And I can't. And, you know, I definitely like was really hard on myself for a long time. And then I just, you know, realized, okay, just because I don't necessarily want to be a solo entrepreneur, it doesn't mean I can't still create something amazing and create freedom and choice and, you know, do things that I love.
And I think too, it doesn't mean that it has to be forever. I think at least for this chapter in your life, it makes sense. But down the road, it could mean something else and you have a bunch of skills or maybe you have more of a little nest egg that you're working with, but you know kind of, oh, the first time around, here are the challenge, or you're going into it with realistic expectations.
Definitely.
Of what you're getting into. And right now, you haven't fully given up the entrepreneur spirit and the teaching because you're still doing Beauty Counter and you still have a great Instagram where you get to educate there and talk about home swaps. I know I love, you know, seeing the products whenever I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of want a new laundry detergent. I jump over to your page and I'm like, yep, of course, Jess has it covered. So what are some of the the things that you love about Beauty Counter and the way that you're able to educate and kind of feel that entrepreneurial spirit or that, you know, that growing your own business there?
Yeah. And I love that question because I think it, you know, what I love about Beauty Counter is it is what you want to make it. There's no, you know, there it's, you know, I'm not working for a corporate company. It's my business under this umbrella. So I can, and I've gone through different seasons with it. You know, there was a time where I was putting a lot more energy into it because that's what I wanted to build. And now I'm in a season where, you know, I'm doing it just when it feels right and it's exciting. And what's nice is like, you can do that with a business like this. You know, it's the amount of time that you want to put into it. And that's what you'll get out of it too. You know, so I know that times where I'm not putting as much into it, I'm financially maybe not getting as much. And it kind of ebbs and flows. And if there was a point where I wanted to say, hey, maybe I do want to take this, you know, full time, then, you know, I know how to do that. But that's what's really nice about opportunities like Beauty Counter. And I think there's so many opportunities out there. And I think, you know, Beauty Counter is technically like direct sales, quote unquote, network marketing, which I think can get a bad rap because the old school, like Mary Kay, and, you know, we all know like the Tupperware parties. But it really is a brilliant business model. And I think it gets a bad rap for the wrong reasons, you know, and when you look at it, it's like, yeah, I have a team under me and I, you know, I make money when my team makes sales, but like, that's how a sales team works too. Like how do you think my manager makes his paycheck? It's because I'm making sales and the team is doing well. So I think people have a really like misconstrued idea. And I think there's some really great companies out there, you know, like a company like Beauty Counter that are really mission focused, and Beauty Counter's main, you know, main point is educating, you know, whether or not people are purchasing our products. It's, you know, educating, advocating for more laws to get changed in the industry. And so that's what I really love about it, is giving me that outlet, like you said, to educate not just on that, but on these other things. And that's what I love to do. And it's given me a platform to do that and to also, you know, make money while I'm doing it. So I definitely would, you know, encourage people to, again, not box yourself in. Like, there are so many ways that you can maybe have, you know, an entrepreneurial type business without, and with this, it's like, I have a website through them. I don't have to do a website. They have marketing materials that I use. I don't have to create that. So it's like being able to do the entrepreneur without all of the stressors that I had when I was trying to do everything on my own, which has been a really awesome opportunity.
Yeah. That marketing part is so huge. I know, mm-hmm. just with the podcast, like it's something I've learned through that of like, that's not the part that I get excited about, you know? So it's amazing if you can have a business that covers that aspect for you. That's one less thing you have to do. When you started with Beauty Counter, how much did you know about products, like the clean products? Because they're all about knowing what's in your products. And mm-hmm. also the education is all around some of the more harmful mm-hmm. ingredients that maybe, you know, Europe or other countries don't allow. Where was your knowledge, and had you already been looking for these products prior to coming across Beauty Counter?
Yeah. So I think my kind of segue into natural products was pretty kind of like slow and natural, because I had my own slew of health issues, which is why I got into holistic nutrition anyways. And so I honestly, you know, I can't personally remember like when I started to swap everything out. It just sort of like happened. And so my knowledge was pretty baseline. I think I knew enough that like I could kind of find my own products that I knew were safe. And I found small kind of local companies. But in terms of like specific ingredients to look out for and like, you know, labels to look out for and tools, I really didn't have, you know, much of that knowledge. Beauty Counter, actually, my sister was working for them for about a year. So she was kind of the one that got me into it. And I started using some of their products. And the other thing I love is their products are safe, but they're also effective. And it's hard to find both sometimes. Like sometimes natural products don't really work. So I started using the products and kind of fell in love with it. And then, yeah, the amount of like education that they provide, just in terms of, we have like our never list. And it's like a list of ingredients to look out for. And it tells you what it is and what it's used for and what, you know, products you find it in. So a lot of that came from working with them, and then just skincare in general, you know, learning about the importance of having a regimen and how the different products play a part in the regimen and how the ingredients work together. Another really cool thing that I learned from them is about sourcing of ingredients. So that's another whole, you know, avenue of this industry that people don't realize is when these ingredients are getting sourced, companies want to get them as cheap as possible. So they're often tied to child labor, really terrible work conditions, unfair wages, and things like that. So that was a whole sector that I had really no idea about until I started working for them. So yeah, I've learned a lot from partnering with them and utilizing their tools.
Yeah. What I love about that though, is that it was something you were already into and then were able to expand it into a business. It's not like you went out seeking business ideas because
totally.
It's so important. Or I think when you look at people that have the right why underneath or how they get connected is so natural, you can feel that on the other side. So, you know, watching you inform through Instagram or any of your posts, it doesn't come from like, there's not a hint of salesiness to it. Like, I don't get that weird, like, oh, what does she want me to buy this time? It's literally like, oh my gosh, did you know? And that has such a different energy that pulls people in. So I think that's so important to point out of you were already interested, you learned even more, and then, hey, you also get to have some income that comes along with this education.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great point. You know, I think the why behind anything you're doing is super important. And yeah, for me, it's like the most important part is that education piece. And I'm really truly coming from this place of like, hey, people don't realize this. And, you know, I come across so many people that don't realize it. So it's like, I can educate you. And oh, I also have an option for you if you need it that I trust. And that's amazing. And so, yeah, I think the why is hugely important. And what's nice too is it's just fun now. You know, it's like before when I was trying to force it and it was coming from this place of desperation, it just like, I burnt out. Like when I got this job, I actually went off Instagram for about 3 months and I wasn't doing anything. Like I wasn't literally nothing on there. So I really wasn't educating and I wasn't talking about it because I was so burnt out. And now that I have this job and I have this, you know, the space to breathe again, it's like, it's fun. You know, I did a reel over the weekend for the first time, like, you know, months. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot how fun this is. And so it's just really nice to come from that place of like, this is fun. It's a business. I'm educating, making some money on the side, you know, teaming up with awesome women. And so it's definitely been a much different experience than prior.
Yeah. It doesn't have the pressure attached. And I think knowing while I'm going through training for this new job, it's okay that I let other things take a back burner.
Definitely. Yeah.
Another thing I've noticed, not just through, you know, you posting, but our conversations is that you're really thoughtful about multiple sources of income because of the choice that you want to have in your decisions. Can you talk a second about some of your ideas there and just some of your thoughts?
Yeah. And this is one that, we've talked a bit about. It's like, I think when I first started all of this, freedom was really what came to mind. But my beauty counter mentor, actually, she phrased it as choice. And she talks a lot about wanting choice. And that just resonates so much with me. And I think it's something that, again, people don't realize they can have. Like they're, you know, and they deserve to have choice, you know. So I want to choose the lifestyle that I want to live. You know, like I love what I call like luxury. Like I want to be able to travel and stay in nice spas. And, you know, I want to be able to go somewhere warm when it's 0 degrees in Denver for a week. And, you know, I want to be able to, when I have a family, like travel with them and give them experiences. And so I think I want to be able to choose these things in my life. And so I think it's so important to create these multiple sources of income because that's really what gives you choice, right? Not relying on one sole thing. A, you can make more money, but B, God forbid, if anything happens, you have, you know, these other avenues. And I just think this is something that's so smart and it's so much easier to do now than it was 10, 20 years ago with the internet and investing. And there's like apps now that you can invest through, you know, and learn through, and there's just so much access there. So that is one thing for me is I really want to set myself up with, you know, having Beauty Counter. I really want to look into real estate. That's something that's super interesting to me, A, because I want to be able to travel, you know, throughout the year and be in different climates and different areas and have houses to do that in, but also rent them out, you know, to make some money. I really want to create some like properties that are all sustainable and eco-friendly and clean. So people, you know, with similar interests to me that care about those things can travel and feel just so, you know, at home and grounded and just make it like a really great experience. So again, another thing of like, these are things I'm passionate about. Oh, how can I turn it into something that's also going to benefit me, you know, long term? So I do just, I'm a huge advocate, especially for women, you know, when it comes down to it, it's like, yes, I know things have changed in terms of women in the workforce and having families and whatever, but I'm sorry, when I have kids, I know I'm not going to want to be working 40 hours a week. You know, I still want to work. I know that's something I don't want to be like necessarily a fully stay at home mom. I still want to have things that I'm doing, but the idea of like trying to be a mom and working 40 hours a week is also doesn't sound like the lifestyle that I want. So again, yeah. Choice, you know, setting myself up to have the choice of, you know, working the hours that I want to work and being able to, you know, spend time with my family and my kids and create that.
Yeah. I don't know how women get it done that have children and careers, because just a career or just children is a lot. And
yeah,
it's choice is an amazing thing. What are some of the other ways, even if it's not direct, you know, income, whether it's partnerships or brand affiliations, like what are some of the other ways that maybe it's not a check that you get in the mail, but what are some of the other fun things that you've, you know, sources and how did you get them?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me of this one. So yeah, you know, just in being in that like clean living health space and really focusing on, you know, growing my Instagram and my business, I was able to partner with some amazing companies. And this also lights me up. Like I love supporting, especially small local companies and just companies that are doing things the right way, that are being transparent about where they're sourcing and what ingredients they're using. And so, yeah, I was able to have some super fun Instagram partnerships. I got a free like organic mattress. That was like probably one of the biggest things I got from this company just for like an Instagram post. And you know, again, like great, it's like a $1,400 mattress. You don't necessarily have to send me money, but I just got a great product for free. I've gotten amazing cleaning products, candles, my bidet for my toilet I got for free. Oh my gosh. The Tushy is it's a great one. I got some toothpaste. I got natural wine. I got some natural wine from a natural wine company that I partner with. And some of the partnerships I do still make some money on. The natural wine company, it's not a lot. You know, it's like $80-$100 every quarter or so, but still it pops in. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. Amazing. So yeah, I think there are so many ways to get creative and do that. And, you know, I haven't put a whole lot of time and effort into those things recently, but I do know a lot of people that do that and do make a decent amount of money from it. And again, it's just this idea of you're sharing something that you love and people buy from people they trust and companies know that. So there's so many of these like affiliate partnerships out there that you can connect with and work with.
Walk us through that. How does that work? So kind of what was the point where your Instagram was, whether it was amount of followers or just the content, what do they look at?
Yeah.
And then did you reach out to them? Like how did that whole process work of actually getting connected?
And I will say like, I don't think it's really as much about the followers, especially for some of these smaller companies. So I think if there's people out there that this sounds like it, they would be interested in doing it. You don't have to have 10,000 followers. You know, I think I have like 4,000 something. So I think, you know, content, I think they definitely saw that my focus was educating and that I was sharing these products that I love and that people were, you know, engaging with that. So I think that is important. You know, if you do want to go down this path, I would definitely, you know, kind of hone in on like, okay, what are my pillars? Like, what am I talking about on here? What is my goal? What am I sharing? Because, you know, of course, if you're on there talking about like mom life, you know, and then you want to go partner with somebody that has nothing to do with that, you know, so I think finding like your focus is really important and having like, you know, I generally say like three pillars, you know, that you're focusing on your content. So it's really clear, like what your message is and who you're trying to target. And then for me, it was a combination. The mattress company, I finally reached out to them. I just was like, screw it. I'm just going to see what happens. The worst they say is no. And, you know, obviously it ended up working out really well. So, a lot of companies, it was kind of 50-50, I'd say, that of me reaching out. And then I eventually had companies that would message me as well and just, you know, say, hey, you know, we're loving your content. I did at the time have a blog. I haven't really done that as much recently, but that helped too. So I would do blog posts as well. And then I think too, sharing, like, so if I get a product that I love, I'll share about them, I'll tag them, you know, I'll shout them out. And then sometimes that would then turn into like a partnership, whether it's, you know, me reaching out, at least then they see that I've shared about their product, or they see that I'm sharing and then they reach out to me as well. So I think that's always great. And then that's a great way to grow your Instagram too, you know, because if you're partnering with this company and you do a post for them and then they share the post and then you're getting in front of their people. So I would say if, you know, if that's an avenue that you're looking to go down and you're looking to grow your Instagram, I think collaborations are an amazing way to do that.
That's so cool. I can't get over the mattress.
I know.
Like, sure, I'll do one Instagram post and you send me a super nice mattress and sheets. Didn't you say they got sheets with it?
Yeah. Another company I got organic pillows and this like amazing throw blanket from.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so fun. I love that. But it's just like, how do people get there? It's fun to hear about it.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm glad you asked.
Jess, what are some of the hard versus soft skills that you've developed? So hard skills would be the technical trainings, the formal education, and soft skills are the things you've developed or are just naturally good at. Mm. What are your thoughts with hard versus soft skills and in your unique journey?
Yeah, I love this because we chatted about this before, you know, before we recorded, and I was like, oh, wow, this is a fascinating question because so my hard skills would be I have a master's in special ed and a bachelor's in psychology. I'm also a certified yoga teacher, certified spin instructor. I'm a health coach through Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and then I'm a nutrition therapy practitioner through the NTA. But what's interesting is when I look at my hard skills and what I'm doing now and why I'm good at what I'm doing now, it's much more soft skills. You know, I think through all of that and through my journey, the soft skills I've developed are, communication is huge. I've always just been pretty good at speaking and pretty just able to eloquently share my message. And I enjoy speaking in front of people. Like I've kind of always, that's come naturally to me, just speaking to groups and people and like on platforms. And then people skills, like really just being able to listen. I think listening is huge, especially in any sort of like sales role and an education role. So really being able to listen. And I think just caring about people, you know, just wanting to help people, you know, really is the driver of everything that I do. And everything I put out there is really about like, what value can I provide? You know, and I think that's the difference between, like you said, it doesn't come off as it's not, oh, you know, how can I get her money or her sale, whether it's for Beauty Counter or TryNet, you know, where I work, like, it's more about like, okay, how can I provide this person value and like change their life and help them out, whether or not it means that they choose my service or my product or whatever it is. And those are skills that I've just naturally developed or learned throughout like my entire journey. And I really think those are the skills that have gotten me like the success that I've had in my career, more so than my degrees and, you know, tech skills, quote unquote.
I love that when your current company saw your resume or saw your experience, that was exciting to them, because I know I have such a diverse background. And a lot of times people look at that and go, oh my God, well, what does she do? And so I love hearing your experience that there's a lot of companies that love the skills that you've developed in each position.
Yep.
So
definitely.
That's just a good reminder that, you know, it's the right company, the right fit that can see those hard and those soft skills that you've, you know, earned over the years, and they fit for the right company. So
yeah,
it's just a good reminder.
I think connecting is another thing I'm really naturally good at, is just like connecting people. And I think, again, that comes back to like, oh, wow, these two people should meet because, you know, they can help each other with X, Y, and Z. And that was big with my current job, is like, they saw that too, of, you know, they asked like, how did you, you know, cause I had a podcast as well. They're like, how did you promote that? Like, how did you create your business? And a lot of it was, hey, I connected with people in my community. I had coffee dates. I reached out to people. And I think that's huge too, is just like not being afraid to ask questions or learn from someone, or, and just being that I'm always in a place where I never, you know, that term, I never want to be the smartest person in the room, or I never want to act like I know everything, because I don't. And so I think that always being open to learn from others, especially people that are at, you know, maybe more, quote unquote, more successful or, you know, higher than myself, and like really learning from those people. And I think, you know, sometimes your ego can get in the way of that, of thinking like, oh, I got this, I can do this. And I never want to come to that place. I always want to come to that place of like, what can I learn from this person?
That's so good. Were there ever moments when you reached for another program or another certification and felt that you needed the credentials instead of seeing the value that was in some of the soft skills that you already had?
Yes, definitely. And I think that's just such a natural tendency that, just to feel like you don't know enough, or feel like you don't have enough, you know, comparing yourself to, you know, this person that has X, Y, or Z. And I think that came in the form for me of thinking I needed more certifications. There were definitely courses that I almost signed up for that I didn't, and I'm grateful that I didn't at this point. And also like investing in coaches. And don't get me wrong, I think coaches are really important and can be super helpful in the right scenario. But for me, I was just like paying for these coaches I couldn't afford, because I thought they had the answers and they knew. And it was really just the same things over and over. And the reason it like wasn't working is because their methodologies just like weren't authentic to me and like what felt good for me. And so when I tried to use some of that content methodology, it came off as really inauthentic and fake. And it probably did come off more as like salesy. And I think that was like a big reason why I struggled in the years that I was building that business, is because I was really relying on outside sources rather than myself to do it. Mm.
Looking back, how would you distinguish or break down when to use a coach and what to do with a coach? Like, how would you differentiate kind of your experience of where it didn't work, but knowing that you were also in health coaching? So how would you go about it now, or how would you, you know, advise that people find a coach, pick a coach? What would that look like if you were to do it differently?
Have the money like to pay for it, you know. And I know there's so many things out there that are like, you know, you have to invest in yourself and your business to grow it. And I agree with that. But, you know, it's when you're putting this amount of money like on a credit card, you don't have it, again, you're just like, it's going to stress you out, you know? So I was so stressed out every month when the payment came out for the coach that like, I couldn't actually really like focus and absorb and like, you know, really integrate it, because I was in this, you know, fight or flight the whole time. So I was just creating more stress for myself. And then I think really like question why you're wanting it. And if you think that they're what's going to solve your problems, I think that's where it's like the wrong approach. If you're in a place where like you feel good about what you're doing and where your business is at, and you want to take it to the next level and you want to learn from someone and invest in that, awesome. Like 100% do that. But if you're coming from this place of like, okay, if I do this, then I'll make the $10,000 a month. If I do this, then this will start working. And they have the answers. They know. I think that's where it can become a problem. So I really think it should be from this place of, cool, I've built the business to a place where it feels good. I have the money to invest in this, and I want to bring myself and my business to the next level. And I think that's a place of like a good sign that you're, you know, ready, and a coach would be the right time for you.
I love that, because that's also you surrounding yourself with people that are kind of one, two, three steps ahead
exactly.
of you.
Yes.
Is that you're already in the room. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with what they're doing, but it's just like, show me what I don't see at the stage that I'm at, but you also know the questions that you have.
Yep.
Jess, what's the best piece of career advice you've ever received or that you would offer to others?
I would tell people that it's never too late to pivot. I think we get really boxed in, and this is what happened to me when I started to think about leaving teaching. And then we chatted about this a little bit. I literally had people say to me, there's nothing else you can do with a teaching degree. Like you can't do anything else. I remember Googling like, what can I do with a teaching degree? And even Google told me like nothing. And so I, you know, for a long time, I just thought that it wasn't feasible, you know. And I, at the time too, I think about some of the people that I taught with and that I know weren't happy in the profession, but stayed because they're like, oh, well, I'll have a great retirement fund. And, you know, that was like a big driver for a lot of people. And I'm like, okay, great. So when you retire at 65, then you'll be able to start living your life, you know? And it was just this really interesting concept of that's what people look at. They're like, okay, well, I'm making a salary and I have a 401k and, you know, teachers do get, you know, a great retirement, you know, options and funds or whatever. But for me personally, that wasn't what I wanted. And again, there's so many, as we talked about, other ways now to attain these certain goals that you want. I think you just have to come out of that box and open yourself up to your creativity. And again, you know, looking at like my resume of all these different things, and I found this company and that's what they were looking for. So just know that like people are looking for people like you, and you have skills that nobody else has, whether or not they're on your resume or whether or not they're part of the degree you got. You know, you have skills that are, that companies need and want. So that's another thing I would say is if you're struggling, is really sit down and think about what your soft skills are. Like, what are you good at? You know, what are you naturally good at? And I guarantee you there is something out there that needs those skills and that you can, you know, find and thrive in. And I mean, I'm 37. And so just to put in perspective there, like, you know, I'm 37 and, you know, this is, I've had a lot of pivots and I know I'll pivot more in the future. So I just think that's something I would really, really encourage people to remember and think about if they're struggling at all in their career path.
That's so good. And I think it's so interesting that you started in a job that everyone would look at and go, oh, that's stability. That's, mm-hmm. that's the place that, you know, you have great retirement, and that wasn't the perfect spot for you because that created the burnout, but it was some of the same skills, but just with a different company or a different goal mm-hmm. or different people around you, that was actually the stability that you needed. Yeah. Just so interesting that, you know, you would think that the opposite of working for yourself would fix it, but that wasn't quite it. It was just like, no, you're kind of there. You need the better fit of the environment. So I just think that's so interesting of, you were kind of there, but you just had to go on a long journey just to get a little more aligned.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I would also say, I think another piece of advice is like, I don't know, just try not to get frustrated with yourself. Try not to put so much pressure on yourself because it is so easy. I know there have been so many points in my career where I've said like, God, Jess, like, why can't you just stick to something? Like, what's wrong with you? And I really thought there was something wrong with me and that like I was destined to always struggle and like never figure it out. And so I think it's really easy to feel that in this society. So I would just encourage you to know that like there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. Like, most of us have no idea what we want to do, you know, especially not at 18 or, you know, whatever it is. So I think it's a lifelong journey and it's natural for your why to pivot and for your vision to pivot and for your needs to pivot. And so I think, you know, your career is probably going to need to pivot with that. And that's totally okay.
Beautiful. Jess, thank you so much for sharing with us today. I know these conversations, I just enjoy so much, and of course, talking with you, and you're always up to something super interesting and fun and inspiring. And it always is just such good energy to be around. So thank you for sharing your energy with us today.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Wow. Another big thank you to Jessica for being on the podcast today and just sharing her story and just great energy with everyone. I will make sure to put her Instagram in the show notes so that you can connect with her on her page. She posts so many wonderful things, whether it's about clean beauty products through, you know, she talked about Beauty Counter that she works with, but she also just has a lot of clean swaps that you can make in your house. She shares so much information just because she loves it. And it's been so helpful of finding really cool brands and learning about things that I wasn't aware of or ingredients in different foods to be looking out for. Jess just is in the know. So make sure that you connect with her if you really enjoy the episode. And I just think this is such a good one. Her ending note on that it's okay that we don't know what we want to do all the time, or that our journey can look different. I know that's a message that I personally need to hear. I hope that connected with you and just reassured you that our journeys can look different. And that's the point. The point is that we don't have it all figured out at the beginning, and that it can grow and evolve and surprise us and lead to something even better than we imagined. So I'm very thankful that Jess has come into my life and I can call her a friend in my new life in Colorado. I hope you're doing well. I hope that this year has brought some positive change for you, and I look forward to connecting soon and catching you next time on another episode of Defining Roles.